Father, as we take a minute to go to your word again, we just ask that our hearts would be ready to receive. We know that you're already preparing our hearts. If we're willing, you're more than able. And Lord God, take this moment that we have together to speak to us, to teach us, disciple us, to love us, correct us, whatever is needed, Lord God, that in the end result we would be more Christ-like. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think it's funny because I do appreciate Amanda and Fred stepping up. I appreciate the sound people stepping up because we at one time have so many people that are away. But, you know, here's the great thing. I did. This morning I was the first one here. I sensed God's presence. Even as I walked in, I could sense that God wanted to do something special. Sometimes, and Fred shared it a little bit during Sunday school, sometimes we get so caught up in numbers and activity and people and business that we just forget sometimes that God wants to do something fresh and new in our lives and fresh and new in different ways. And he's creative and he wants to do these things. And this morning, I want to take a moment to look at the power of our words and the things that we say. You know, that Fred hit on it, the Jesus being the Word of God and talked about our relationship with God and what God was looking for in our lives to draw us close to him. And this morning I want to just take, and I believe that they're threaded together. That's just a coincidence. You know, it's just a coincidence. It could happen any time. You know, I'm kidding, right? The Lord works and pulls these things together. And you know, so do you know, I hear heavenly music. do you know that there's power in your words? Do you know that? How many would just be honest enough to say that you know there's power in words because we've been hurt by other people's words. We've been crushed by somebody's words that were used inappropriately or in a haste of anger, and yet words, your words, can either lift someone up or tear down. You have the power in your words to edify and lift somebody up, or you have the power in your words to destroy and crush someone. And you know, here's an example. You're saying good morning, and you have that air of friendliness. You have that air of wanting to connect with somebody. You're saying good morning. I'd much rather that than what? Where you know that you can draw someone in or you can push someone away. Don't believe me? Make eye contact with somebody. And you can with your eye contact, you can say, how are you? Or with your words and your eye contact, you can say, I don't care about you one bit. Inside, also, in words, is tone. The tone of our words can change the whole meaning of what we're wanting to say. And if someone mistakes your tone, can change the whole idea of something that was said. Maybe your tone didn't come off right and they took it wrong and totally opposite of what you wanted to express to them is what they received from us. See, here's the thing. Inside the power of our words, it gets complicated, and if the tone is taken wrong, we can change that whole meaning. And social media is good, but you know what? Social media has a lot of advantages, but one of the disadvantages is we can't see their face when they write these things. You can't, sometimes reading between the lines, you get the wrong things. And this morning, so I want to take a few minutes and see what God says about our words and how important it is to play the part in saying the right things. Jesus in himself gives us direction and gives us the importance of words that we speak to each other. And he doesn't separate these things. He's telling us that our words usually come from the heart. Out of what's in our heart is what's going to come out of our mouth. And sometimes we have all kinds of ways of faking what's in here. But really, when it gets down to it, what's in our heart and what's down in our spirit is what's going to come out. And we're going to see that you can't separate the words and the heart. They're so closely related that even if you have the right attitude and use the wrong words, that it can affect people and cause dissension. So a couple scriptures. Matthew chapter 12. It is one verse, and I think James 3 is where we're going to end up. But Matthew 12, verses 34 to 37, these are Jesus' own words, written in red in most every Bible, because showing that these are the actual words of Jesus. He's talking to the Pharisees, and pick it up in verse 34. He says this. He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of a good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by the words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, taking this into context, if that's not enough, that Jesus brings the hammer down to us and really shows us, you know, but if we're really going to take this context and this text in the right order, Jesus is dealing with Pharisees and he's interacting with religious people. Can I just say this? Jesus is not as impressed with religious people. He's not impressed with the things that religious people do, people who talk a good game. Religious people in the sense that they've graded themselves based upon how they measure up to someone else. Say amen to that this morning. That's really what, when you look at these religious people, they're saying, hey, according and to this person, I'm a better person. According, because I do this and do that, then I'm a better person than that person that does this or that. And Jesus here is not interested in merely alternating behavior. He doesn't want people to simply say the right things and do the right things. Jesus wants to create in us new hearts, clean hearts, good deeds coming from a heart change. And the scribes here, if you took the whole thing here, the scribes and the Pharisees, they spoke terrible words to Jesus. In fact, they called the Son of Man an ally of the devil. Is it any wonder that Jesus did not like religious people? Jesus shows us two observations here. He shows us that our hearts and the state of our heart can be seen through the words that we speak. And the second part of the observation is that each one of us, did you catch that? Each one of us will give an account to God for every idle or empty word that we spoke. Now, considering the state of a heart, listen to this quote that I found. A man's character can be known from his words. That which is the heart can come to the surface only through our lips. We can produce through our lips only what we have in our hearts. There is nothing so revealing as words. We do not need to talk to people long before we discover whether they have wholesome or dirty minds. We do not need to listen to them long before we discover whether they are kind or cruel. We do not need to listen for long to someone who is preaching or teaching or lecturing to find out whether that person's mind is clear or whether it is muddled. We are continually revealing who we are by what we say. He goes on to talk about idle and empty words. And if we're going to take it again in the context that it's meant, in the right Greek context, idle words do not produce anything. That's what Jesus is basically saying. In the right context, he's saying idle words or empty words don't produce anything productive. Idle words have no value. Just like an idle person is not productive. An idle person is wasting their time. Idle words have no value. Idle words are the things we speak without thinking. And the only way that we can get control of the things that we need to say in the right order is to let God help us do that. Say amen to that. A plumber says this, the carefully spoken words, now get this, the carefully spoken words may be calculated hypocrisy. When we are consciously on our guard, we will be careful what we say and how we say it. But when we are off guard, our words reveal our character. It is quite possible for a person's public utterances to be fine and noble, and a private conversation of that person to be coarse and obscene. In public, words are carefully chosen. In private, the guard is down, and any word leaves the gateway of that person's lips. It is so with anger. We will say in anger what we really think and what we have often wanted to say, but which the cool control of prudence has kept us from saying. Many people model charm and courtesy in public when they're being watched, when they choose their words carefully. In their homes, a lot of times you see the irritable, the sarcastic, the quick-tempered, the critical spirit, because the public doesn't see it. Jesus tells us that these words are the most dangerous. Anger makes us say the things that we would have never said had we got control of our words. Say amen to that. Anger and getting to the point of that boiling point, it is going to cause us to say things that we would never have said had we had control of our words. We can never take back words that come out of our mouth. We can say we're sorry. And we can hope and pray for forgiveness. We can hope and pray that someone would understand that what was said in a way that just came out wrong or came out in the wrong manner. You know, you can say you're sorry, but you can't take back, hopefully, that you can be forgiven. Now listen to what James says about your tongue. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 12. He's talking about taming your tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers. So he's not talking to an unbeliever. It shows you right here. He's talking to the church, my fellow believers. Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who were made in God's likeness. Of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, again, he's talking to the church. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James gives us some warnings. He says to first of all, that those that purposely turn people away from the truth by the things that they say and lead them astray by their teachings will stand before God. They will stand before God for their idle and unproductive words. He says that we can tame animals, but we can't tame our tongue. We can steer a large ship and you know they're talking about wind only, but I'm talking about a ship now with a motor in 2017. We can steer a ship that has this large motor or large massive sails for wind, but we can't control our tongue. With our tongue we praise God, and with our tongue we tear each other down. With the same tongue we lift up the name of Jesus, in the same tongue we gossip. Verse 8 says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I say to you this morning, no man can, but God can. God can. God is able to tame a tongue. God is able to change a heart. God is able to get control of our all of our faculties to cause us to walk with God. He is still able. You know, I read this article not too very long ago, and it caught my interest because it came back to my remembrance with looking at this message this morning. I read an article that said that the largest land animal that God created was an elephant. An African elephant, now get this, an African elephant can weigh between 14 and 15,000 pounds. The largest sea animal that God created is a whale. The tongue on a humpback whale can weigh between 14 and 15,000 pounds. Now, I want you to understand something. If God can create something that massive, do you think God can control a 0.1-pound tongue of a human? Do you think that he has any trouble getting a hold of someone's heart? Do you think he has any trouble stopping someone from gossiping? He doesn't. Only hindrance would be as if we don't let him. Greek proverb says we have two ears and one mouth that we may listen the more and talk the less. I think that's so true, don't you? What has gotten us mostly in trouble? Talking too much and not listening enough. Amen? We should listen far more than we talk. To become a mature follower of Christ, we need to learn to watch our mouths. We need to learn to listen more. We need to understand that God is in control. We need to know that we all make mistakes. Even your preacher. Now, I thought sure somebody would say amen. We all make mistakes. They're all watching their tongue. Good, good, very good. I love you all. Very good. Just let me know you're listening. We all make mistakes. And we all slip and say things that we shouldn't. We can't eliminate it because we're human. But we can do a better job. Say amen to that. We can do a better job. We can love each other. We can express God's love. We can show some mercy. And many people think it's impossible to control their tongue. And I'm telling you this morning, it's not. It's not impossible. It is impossible in yourself, but it isn't impossible with God. And those, a lot of times, that say they can't control their tongue, or they strictly say, well, I got to tell you exactly how it is. No, you don't. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. Sometimes you don't need to show me what I already know. Sometimes you don't need to show me your heart, even though it's coming out your mouth. Everybody say amen to that. We've been on both sides of that, haven't we? We've been on the receiving end of that, and we've been on the side that we should have shut up ourselves and kept quiet. You know, James is telling us there, and people who will allow Christ to control their lives and control their tongues. Now, let me say that a different way. People that will let Christ control their tongue, we will evidence control in the rest of their lives. Do you get that? Because if we allow God to do in with our mouth and our things that we say, we will allow God to get control of other areas of our life. Because it's a God thing. We can't do it ourselves, but with Christ in us, working through us, we can do it. Say amen to that. I'll just say this. And I do Facebook, and I do some of these things, but there's a lot that I don't do. So I'm going to say this. Please think before you tweet, post, snap, Instagram, or write on Facebook. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It has created so much hardship. Just be careful what you're doing and watch what you're saying, because people will judge you based on the words that you're using. And there's no filter there. Do you understand that? What you print. And I don't know about you, some of the phones that we have, and my phone, let me tell you, Siri is not my friend. Because I talk to Siri and she doesn't understand everything I say. And when I look down, the words that are across my screen on my phone may look one thing, but she's saying another. So all I'm telling you that people, if Siri can't get it right, and I miss Cortana, if they can't get it right verbally hearing you, how much more is somebody that's on the other end of a text, on the other end of a Facebook post, how much more are they deciphering and trying to figure out what you're saying? James is building this case about how we need to watch our words. We can evidence through history of dictators that use their words to mobilize people and destroy others. We see it evidence in church splits, fighting over carpet colors and this or that, or you know, pastors ruining their reputations. We see verbal abuse in homes. And we see character of spouses and children suffering. We can see Satan using other people's tongues to divide people and put them against each other, whether that would be color, culture, or any other way that would cause a divide. Idle words are damaging because they spread quickly. And let me tell you, gossip is an idle word. I love this definition. It's from Ken Sandy's book. It's called The Peacemaker. He gives this definition of gossip, and I love it. To gossip means to betray a confidence or to discuss unfavorable personal facts about another person with someone who is not part of the problem or the solution. That's good stuff, ain't it? Discussing things that you have no business to be discussing, talking about someone with someone that is not part of the problem that you're trying to bring resolution, or are not part of the solution to the problem. Gossip only leads to trouble. It's not our business to be in other people's business. It's not our business to be talking about other people. It's not working out the problem. It's creating a problem. It's not fixing or working on the solution, it is making it deeper. I love this illustration. I think I used it several years ago, but it fits again. Robert E. Lee was once asked what he thought of a fellow officer in the Confederate Army, an officer who had been saying some mean-spirited things about him, and Lee thought a minute, then rated him as being very satisfactory. The person that was doing the questioning stumbled and says, "But General, I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you." There was a pause and he said, "Oh yes, I know. But I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me." He stayed in the positive. He stayed within the realm of not trying to spread gossip, not trying to make it worse. Words are like dynamite. They can be used to blow open a road, so to speak, and be productive. But words can also be dynamite that causes destruction and hurtful things. And some is beneficial and some's not. Some is improper. And some can cause a lot of damage. The Word of God has been tough on us this morning. Because it tells us, this passage, these two verses that we're looking at, that we need to listen more than we speak. We need to choose our words carefully. We need to, out of our heart, our mouth speaks, which means we need to make sure that our heart is right, and we need a heart change. We can build up or tear down. We need to choose that we're going to be the one that builds up and not tear down somebody else. We need to understand that we can't do this in ourselves. We need God's help. So let me end this on a positive. And if all goes well, then Fred's one less song, we're going to get you out of there. So God is good. So what kind of world would this be if there was more please and thank yous? What kind of world would this be if more people just held the door for someone else and not in so much of a hurry that you literally close the door on somebody or don't care about somebody else? What kind of world would we live in if somebody just decided they were going to be kind to someone? Really throw it out there and get crazy. Be kind to a stranger you don't even know. What kind of world would we live in? It'd be a whole lot better than it is, wouldn't it? Positive response instead of a negative response. Long-suffering rather than harsh and telling it like it is. Which words would you like to hear this morning? Which ones would make you have a better day? Which one would Jesus do? You know what? If we could get control of our tongue with God's help, and if we use the filter, would Jesus be happy with what we just said? We would have a better day, and so would the people around us. Amen? Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Very simply, you have the power to bring life, to speak life to somebody, to speak an encouragement to somebody, to lift someone else up, or you have the power in your words to tear down somebody, and whatever fruit you're eating is what's going to come out. That is going to be what you're showing. God tells us in His Word that we have this incredible power in our tongue, that we can bring blessings or curse. We can be a blessing to someone, or we can tear them down. The craziest thing I've never understood that said sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. They do hurt. To me, that's the craziest thing. Must have been somebody that just fell off the planet X and decided that they needed to write something down. There is hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. That hope, there is hope, and that is in the Holy Spirit working in our lives and giving us the power to control our tongue and our emotions and not get outside of that realm and destroy people. Colossians 4:6 says, let your life be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When you're jammed up, that's not the time to go looking for Jesus. You need to know Him ahead of time so that you can rely on His words to help you through this. Only a renewed heart can produce pure speech. Only a heart that is led by Christ can do these things. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father, Your Word has been hard on each one of us because there's not one of us here that hasn't said something that we wish we didn't. There's not one of us here that has not let anger dictate words that we wish we could take back. And there's not one of us here that hasn't said, I'm sorry, for a word or a phrase or a thought that they wish they could take back. And there's not one of us here that has not relied on your forgiveness and the forgiveness of others. But Lord God, as we look at these verses this morning, we understand what you're saying with the danger of our tongue and not being controlled by the Spirit of God. And we're asking, Lord Jesus, that this morning you would help us. Help us to be into your word so that the words of our mouth would be Christ-like. Help us to be about Christ's business so that, Lord God, when we are jammed up in life situations and circumstances, we're not scrambling to find Jesus, but that we, in the power of his Spirit, sense his presence even in our trials and disappointments, and that you would get honor and glory in our lives. Raise up an army of believers that would dare to say, you know what, I choose to be an encourager. I choose to be the person that you want me to be. I choose, even though I could destroy and maybe even rightfully so, I choose to bring life. In Jesus' name, amen.